Holding on, Lamed Aleph on the base, about three quarters of the way down there. I'm over the line again, the Euphrates. Still in the middle of talking about the discussion from yesterday about the weather, about the various winds. We said that the east wind is a very harsh wind, and therefore that's we talked about the relevance of that to wine spoiling, how it caused Yonah trouble. And last thing we had was the discussion about the four different winds throughout the day, and the Ruach Dromit, the south wind being the worst of all of them, and you need Ben Neis, you need the Malach, Malach shaped like a hawk to be able to control it. So continuing on that topic, Lamed Aleph on the base. Rava and Rav Nachman Yitzchak Abba Yasvi, Rava and Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who was a Talmud, one time was sitting, have a cholik for also Rav Nachman by Yaakov, and they passed by Rav Nachman by Yaakov, that the Yosef would go how could the daver, Rav Nachman by Yaakov was sitting in a golden litter, like the kind of thing that a litter as in the kind of thing that they used to carry around princes and noblemen and whatnot, and a chair carried with poles on people's shoulders. Part of Salah Sarvala to Kauti, and there was a greenish Kauti is the color of leeks, so deep, so dark green, coat or cloak was spread over him.
With the south wind?
No, nothing to do yet with the winds, where the winds we're going to talk about in a minute. That ended up being the topic of conversation. But he was traveling around like a rich person, basically. Rava also like a base, so Rava went to see who it is and show him respect. Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo yozel lagabei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak didn't. Omar, because he said, "Domim inshe divei reish kolusin," you know, this person, maybe, he didn't know it was Rav Nachman Yitzchak inside the litter. In fact, Ben Yoyada points out, that's what the Gemara makes a point of mentioning, that he was covered with this greening cloak. You couldn't see who was in there. You knew it was a man, because otherwise, if it was a woman, he says it would have been reddish. You know, blue for boys, pink, I guess. But so he knew it was a man, at least, otherwise it wouldn't be sneer-stick necessarily to go and greet her, but they didn't know who it was. But he said, maybe this person is from the household of the Reish Kalusa, and that's why he's traveling around in style like that. So, Rava Sarech Lavu, Rava needs them. Rava needs the people of the he has to come on to them. He has to be in their favor. He has to be in their good graces. I'm not like Tzrich Melahu. I don't. Now why not? Rashi says like this. The Gemara tells us in Chulin that Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa. So therefore he himself belongs to that family. Now Rashi over here and in a couple of other places in Shach learns that the Rav Nachman, when the Gemara says Rav Nachman, without specifying it means Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So therefore, from Nachman, from Chulin over there, is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, then we understand. He's saying, you know what, if it's somebody from the Reish Kalusa's household, I don't need to curry favor with them and go over to honor them. I myself belong to that family. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos points out a number of Gemaras from which we see that actually plain Rav Nachman in the Gemara, without specification, is actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov, the one who was in the litter. Usually he's just called plain Rav Nachman. Only when we need to distinguish him from another Rav Nachman, such as Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, if he called with his father's name Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So according to Tosfos, then the Rav Nachman, who was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa, was actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov, and that's what he's doing traveling in this litter. The Reish Kalusa were the official governors of the Jewish people in Bavel. So they were rich, they were powerful. So according to Tosfos, the vote is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is saying this person. I have already. This person who's in the litter may be from the family of the Reish Kalusa, as in fact it was, or as Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa. Me though, I'm rich. I don't need to curry favor with them. I'm independently wealthy. Anyway, hello. But then when Rav Nachman by Yitzchak saw that the person in the litter was Rav Nachman by Yaakov, then he went over to see him as well. Now it's not just he's some rich, famous guy from the Reish Kalusa's household to curry favor with. Now I see he's an actual Talmid Chacham. Well, then let me go and show him respect and talk with him. Dali Radari, when he came over, Rav Nachman by Yaakov, again, who was sitting there in the litter, uncovered his arm. He was uncomfortable from the heat. He rolled up his sleeve. Amar, he said, Shadia Nashiv. The Shadia is blowing. So Rashi says Shadia literally means the female shade. the she-devil wind, you might say. But Tosfos points out, really, Shadia, properly speaking, means the south wind. Really, that's the name of the south wind. But here, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov was using it to mean the east wind, the same east wind that we've been discussing in the Gemara before, this harsh, drying out, uncomfortable wind is blowing. Amar Rava, the Rava says, you should know something about this wind. Hochi Amar Rav, you should know that Rav said, this wind has such a bad effect on the world, Ishma Pelosba, it makes women miscarry. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel said, I feel my goal is Shemayama Kevisba, even pearls in the sea rot when the east wind is blowing. Masha points out, the Gemara had mentioned yesterday, the Gemara had started with the assumption that the east wind is in the story of Yonah is called Harishit, because it makes furrows in the ocean, because it's so strong that it makes waves, so therefore it has an effect on the water, to the extent that we're saying over here, yeah. No, in the Midbar, the north wind would have been there before, and it didn't blow during the whole 40 years, that's why they couldn't do it for Smilla. Rav Yochanan says that the east wind is so bad that it even makes that when a woman has just had relations with her husband, and for the first 3 days normally the semen, the zera, is still fertile, still alive, and can fertilize the egg, it makes it spoil even within the 3 days. Actually, all these three, Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan, are all darshaning what they're saying, the effects of the east wind, from the same pasuk. They couldn't make the bris milah because there was a north wind.
Women were having children.
Yeah, no. Here we're talking about when the east wind blows, it's so bad that it has all these effects. Actually, we talked about this in Sota. The Gemara mentions in Sota that even the unborn babies sang Shiva at the Yam Suf. So somebody says, why Taka? Because since our Gemara says over here that an east wind can make women miscarry, and there was an east wind that caused the splitting of the Yam Suf, so they had extra reason to sing that east wind didn't harm them. So they all learn from the same pasuk. A pasuk in Hosea, "Ki hu ben achim yafri." Because there's a few different ways that Mefarshim on the pasuk learn these first five words. Rashi over there on the pasuk says that yafri means kind of like being wild, like Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim, and in general the Ephraim Shevet Ephraim being wild among their brothers. Ephraim it collectively means Eseret HaShevatim, because Yerovam, who started the whole breakaway kingdom, came from Shevet Ephraim. Other Mephoshim talk about Yafri means fruitful, whatever. Anyway, the pasuk is going to use Yavai Kodim Ruach Hashem in Midbar Oila, an east wind of Hashem will come from the desert. So in the simple, so the Gemara here is talking about it in the sense of the east wind, plain and simple. And on the pasuk over there, the Mephoshim talk about, that actually mentions the Sanhagim Yonasan, that actually it symbolizes Sancheriv and his kingdom, which Asher is to the east, or the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the Yevosh Mekora, he will dry up his springs. The pasuk goes like this. The Yevosh Mekora, he'll dry up his source. The Yecher of Mayano, he will... The simple meaning is the pasuk is talking about Sancheriv and his whole army will go and devastate that part of Eretz Yisrael. But the full pasuk goes, the Yevosh Mekora, he'll dry up his source. The Yecher of Mayano, and they'll make the springs fail, so they'll make them stop. Hu Yishta Otsako Kli Chemda, and he will rob all of the precious, all of the precious kalim. So, how do we dodge in that? Yevish Makore, it says he'll dry up the source Zumakore Shalisha. This refers to the Shechva Zera in a woman's mucker, in a woman's womb, which dries up and becomes unviable from the east wind. That's referring actually Makore Shalisha is Uber Shabamea, the unborn baby. That this wind causes women to miscarry. The Yechar of Mayana, it causes the fountain to dry up. This refers to the shepazera that's there that hasn't even been fertilized yet, that it dries it up and makes it unviable. Hu yishta oitzak or plichemda, and when the pasuk continues, this wind will rob all the treasury of all the precious kalim, zumagolus shabayam. This means even the pearls in the ocean. So there you go. In this pasuk, you have all these three effects that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan mentioned.
How can the east wind go into a woman's womb?
No, then that doesn't go in. But the heat and the dryness that it makes in the world has a bad effect on her body. Actually, the Chassam Sofer talks about a deeper idea in it, that there's three brachos we find in the brachos that Yaakov gave to Shevet Yosef. There's three aspects of it. Number, there's Birkas Shadayim Baracham, number one, that the women won't miscarry and they'll always have a plenty of supply of milk for their children. Ben Poras Yosef, that they'll have many children, Poras Moshe Piri Verivya. And Vayafoyu Zroya Yodav, that is, his arms are covered with gold, that they'll become rich. So now, as a result of the Averis of Yeravam, because that's what this passage is talking about, because of the Averis of Yeravam, with the Egla Azov, which the Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of the Aseret HaShvatim, continued with them for 200 odd years, all of that is going to be lost. It's going to be the other way around. Instead of being fertile, they're going to be infertile. The Shekhla Zera is going to dry up. Instead of not miscarrying, the women are going to miscarry their babies. Instead of having all these riches, even the pearls in the ocean are going to be affected.
Last 200 years?
The Aseret HaKingdom of the Aseret HaShvatim lasted 241 years, yeah.
With the bad times?
Yeah. And during the year. Okay. Omar Rava, so Rava says, Adi Surahu. This statement, this drasha from this pasuk is a drasha from Surah. It must be from the Yeshivalite Surah. The Daiki Kroi, because they're exact in darshaning the pasukim. Yeah, they find the exact pasuk that goes for something. They found this pasuk that perfectly fits this. Marshall says that actually this is actually Rava asking a question. Adi Surahu, so what would the people of Surah say? The Daiki Kroi, that they were Medayas and Sukim, Maiki Hu Ben Achim Yakri. What would they do with the first five words of the pasuk? What are they darshaning from that? So again, the standard explanation would be that now the Gemara is going back to the first half of the pasuk to darshan. And according to Marshall's explanation, Rava himself, having asked the question, what would the people sort of darshan with it, gives one answer, and then two other Amaroim give other ones.
This whole back and forth was going on, what happened when he came to the wagon. And then
they're talking about the weather, basically. Rav Nachman by Yaakov was sitting there in this litter, rolled up his sleeves, and then what a hot day it is, Shadya Nashiv, the she-devil wind is blowing. And then that led to this, yeah. Amar Rava, afilu shufs of the kufina gemara rafia. It means that even the handle in an axe, or not an axe, actually, Rashi says that a mara is actually a spade, even the handle in the blade, in the iron of a spade, rafia loosens. So how do we darshan it? Because this east wind, bein achim, between two things that should be as close together as brothers, like the handle is very tightly wedged into the metal piece and into the spade end, yafri meloshin yarpi. It makes it weak. It loosens it. So the heat and the dryness of that east wind loosens even something tight like that. Rabbi Yosef, I'm after the sixth of Bedakna Rafia. It also, even if you have a peg that's stuck into a hole in the wall, where again it's very tightly in, this east wind weakens it, it loosens it. Rav Acha by Yaakov, I'm after the Kanya Bekufsa, even if you have even a reed that's woven into a basket, Rafia becomes loose and becomes weak as a result of this wind. And again, the Chassam Sofer goes and explains how each of these three things represents basically what Yeravam and his Avedas did to the Jewish people. They were like a peg in the wall, like a peg is something you hang things on, and therefore it's used in the pasuk as a metaphor for an important person. Instead, they get loosened and fall out. And then similar, they're like reeds, where a bunch of reeds together grow together in achdus, and they're the symbol of humility. A person should always be gentle like a reed and not stiff and inflexible like a cedar tree. So they were like that, but still they weaken as a result of that.
Is there any connection of Wachidim to Mashiach, times of Mashiach?
Not that I know of specifically, but I don't know. Hadron al-Machal again. Getting back now to Dinim of Gittin, which we digressed from the last couple of blah. Mishnah says, Hashaleach get l'ishto, if somebody sends a get to his wife through a shliach, v'igia b'shliach, and then the husband meets up with the shliach, or he shalach after the shliach, or he sends another shliach after him, v'omaloi, and he tells the shliach, get shenasati l'chabati, so either way he personally, or tells the second shliach to tell him, get shenasati l'chabati, this get that I previously gave you is bottle, hareza bottle. Then it becomes bottle. So it can't be given anymore.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. We'll talk about it at the very end of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, how many people you need to say it. We may get to it today. We may get to it tomorrow. We'll see. We'll get to that. But bottle basically means that he's saying that he's saying I'm canceling it. Postle would be an sort of an objective thing. Is this get postle or not? So we'll talk about it. Saying postle doesn't have an effect. So what do you mean this get is postle? It's not postle. It's a kosher to get. But it can be bottle. It can be nullified. Actually, there is a major machlokas among the Rishonim whether the husband has the ability to actually be mevatel the get itself, to make the get itself bottle and therefore postle from being reused ever again. We'll talk about that a bit on the base. Or is it just that he can be mevatel the shlichos but not the get itself? The get itself would still remain valid. The date is when it's signed, yeah. According to the Rambam, for example, if he's mevatel it, then that's it. It's completely worthless. It's like a piece of blank earthenware. There are other Rishonim who learn the get itself is still valid. It's just that shlichos is. But if he changes his mind later, he'd be able to. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. We'll get to it on
another day. Everybody agrees.
Right. So that's the thing. Is he mevatel the get? That's the thing. Is he mevatel the get or is he mevatel the shlichos? That's the question. If he's mevatel the get, he can't use it again. So wait, let's learn the Gemara and we'll get for sure you can be mevatel the shlichos. The question is then if you change your mind again, can you still reuse the same get? Wait, we'll talk about it on another day. Kidim etzolishto. Now what happens if the husband gets ahead of time to his wife, he sends a shliach to see her, but on the law he tells her, this get that's already on its way to you, which I sent to you, but it has not yet been received, it's bottle. Again, how is it bottle? So either way, if he tells it to the shliach while it's in the shliach's hand, or if he tells it to her while still in the shliach, or he tells her directly. But if he only tells her this after the get that really reached her hand, then he can't be mevatel it anymore. Or the Gemara will say that's pashut. We'll get to it. But now, originally, the husband did not even have to be mevatel the get in front of the shliach or in front of the woman. He could just get together a beis din wherever he was and be mevatel the get. Ram Gamliel Azokin made a takana that you should not do that because of tikkun ha'olam. Because what's going to happen? The shliach is not going to know you're mevatel it. He's going to go and deliver it to the woman. She's also going to think it's valid. She's not going to have any way of knowing that not. She's going to get married, and you're going to have a problem. Mamzeros and all the other problems of Eishes Ish.
By
the husband has gone to a beis din unilaterally and been mevatel the get. Now we're saying the get is still on its way to her. Yeah, she doesn't know about all that yet. We'll talk about that. That we're going to get to in the Gemara. We're going to get to a little bit today and much more tomorrow and Matzah Shabbos, the question of if after the Takana, if you are Mevatelet, is it Bottle or maybe not? Maybe the Chacham overrode the husband's ability to be Mevatelet. So wait, we'll get to it. Actually, Meiri has a Shita that he understands the Takana to be. You still can be Mevatel to get, according to him. You just have to do it with the knowledge of the Shliach or of the Isha, as the case may be. You can't do it in some of the Rabbi Gamliel Azach and Takana was not, you can't be Mevatel at all once it was sent, but you can't be Mevatel unless it's in a place where they're going to know about it. Big Mo starts off. The Mishnah does not say that the husband caught up to him, which would imply that the husband was chasing after the shliach. He changed his mind. He wants to be mevatel to get, so he's chasing after him as fast as possible to try and get him. Elahigia. He just says higia, which implies after the mamela, which implies even if he just happened to meet up with him. So the shliach was delayed on the trip. The husband happened to be passing by there and told him to get his bottle. Nevertheless, we're saying that's bottle. Now, So the chiddush of that is, therefore, we don't say that Mela, if the husband is chasing after him, we would say, okay, when he says it's bottle, he really means it. He was trying really hard to get there in order to be mevatelet. But if he's not, if he just happened to meet him and said it's bottle casually, maybe he's only saying it in order to be messiah her. Namely, Rashi says that maybe we would think the husband's saying, you know what, yes, I still want to give it a get, but I want to let him string her out a little bit. She thought she's going to be getting it right away. I still want to string it out another month or two. You would think maybe. Therefore, the Mishnah is implying that no. He says bottle, it means bottle. So the Rashba instead has a girsa l'tzurei kol mechaben, that maybe you would think in that case, again, if the husband is chasing after the shliach, you would say for sure he wants to tell the shliach something. But if he just happened to meet him in the street, maybe, why would he be telling him bottle? Not that it's really bottle. He was trying to be like yanking the guy's chain. Like, look at that. You went to all this trouble to go on my shlichos on my behalf, and now I'm telling you, you could have saved your time. I didn't even need you in the first place. Nevertheless, the point is we don't say that. Okay, so then why does the mission need to continue with the case where the husband sent another shliach to talk to the first shliach? The answer is, because you might think maybe the second person's shlichus is not really any stronger than the first person's shlichus. How can the second shliach have the power to cancel the first one? How does that shlichus have the power to cancel the first one's shlichus? Nevertheless, we're saying it does.
The second shliach is also the shliach.
Doesn't matter. Both shluchim are equally shluchim of the above. Now we know that. So that's why we need to be told that. Okay, next, Kodem Huetel Ishtel Lomeli. Fine, why do we need to be told about the case where the husband himself managed to get to the wife before the guests came to her? The answer is, Mao Detema Kila Amrina Latsa'ura Kamachabin. Fine, you might argue, in the first case of the Mishnah, we said that if he just happened to meet the Shliach, we say, fine, we can't assume when he says bottle, he's just doing it Latsa'ura in order to string her out. He really means bottle. But when would we say that? Hanimilu L'Shliach. You would say, if he's telling the Shliach, don't bother giving the guest. You would say that you would say, well, why would he be doing that in order to string her along? She doesn't know about it anyway right now. Aval Lidita, but if he comes and tells her personally, you know what, I sent you a get, but now I decided to renege on it, then you would think certainly he's only doing it to string her out, and he does not really mean to be mavato the get, just to delay it. Kamash Malon, that's what the Mishnah is telling us, nevertheless. Bottle means bottle. Then what do you need the fourth case where he sent a shliach to talk to the wife and tell her that the get is bottle? Because you might think, okay, the husband himself is not going to go to all the trouble to go find his wife or soon to be ex-wife, whatever, and he's not going to be matriach himself to go find her just for the purpose of being mitzayer her. He's not going to do that. If he's taking the trouble to schlep over to her and tell her to get his bottle, fine. We can say that really means he meant to be mevatel it. Aval shliach d'leich b'flei kitarach, but the shliach, he doesn't care how much tircha he's going to. You would think in that case maybe you would have a valid reason to think that he's only doing it in order to harass her, because he himself is not. It's no skin off his nose, basically. So the shliach is going and schlepping on the road. There's no concern of mine. Again, kamash malon, therefore we have to be told that even in that case, even though he's sending another shliach, and therefore he himself is not going to any tircha, nevertheless, if he says bottle, then it means bottle. There's none of this l'tza'ura or l'tza'urei, according to the Rashba, kamachabim. There's no that he's doing it to yank anybody's chain. If he says bottle, it means bottle.
And if the shliach paid for his work.
If the shliach is getting paid for his work, okay, he still owes him the money for having gone on the shliach, presumably.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like he's being tied there. He wants to just play around the shliach.
But it still could be. I mean, first of all, even if you get paid for it, you know, you want to be able to see the results of what. Yeah, you want to be able to accomplish something. Yeah. Then the Mishnah said, "In mishigir get the other any yochel levatle." That if once the get reaches the wife's hands, the husband is not able to be mevatle. Pshita, isn't that obvious? The answer is Lo Tzricha de Mahadra Alei Mi Kordel Batulei. Yes, but you could be talking about a case where all this time, since the get was at some point after the get was sending was sent out, the husband has been trying to get to a situation of being mevatelet. He's been trying to chase after the shliach and he kept on missing him or whatever it is. He tried to get together a beis din for the purpose before running a meal takana and he wasn't able to. Whatever. So you would think then that means that now we know retroactively that he meant to be mevatelet, and therefore even though it already reached her, we should say that bittul should be in effect. Kamash malon, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. It's still a valid get. Still a valid get, because he wasn't actually mevatelet until it reached her. Now, Tosfos points out, we're going to have a machlokas later on.
It doesn't really matter.
I mean, it matters to a certain extent, right? I mean,
but it
matters what he actually did, whether he actually did a thing of bizzle, right? Well, that's what we're saying, that he meant to be mavatal, that he wasn't yet, so therefore, that's basically it. However, Tosfos points out, we're going to have, in a couple of days, we're going to have on Daf Lamed Daled, a machlokas, one of the famous machlokas in the Abaye and Rava and Shas. This is one of the ones, this is one of the rare ones that Allah is like Abaye, by the way, about the question, Gilui Daisa Begita. The husband is Megaladas. The husband said something. He doesn't actually say the word bottle or any of the other words, but he said something. Yes, well, it's the Gimel of Yavagam, right? This machloek is Gilui Daisa Begita. There's six places in Shas where the halacha is like a baya. The simon for them is Yavagam. The Gimel of that is Gilui Daisa Begita. Okay, so we're going to have it in a couple of days. So the situation over there is the husband is Megaladas. He doesn't say actually the guest is bottle or what have you, but he says something from which you can reasonably infer that he doesn't want this guest to be given. And it's Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, whether that's Achol the guest, whether that's Mevatel the guest or not. Over here, what do you have? The husband is trying to get to the Shliach, and he can't. That's the point. In other words, you have his obvious das that he wants to move off of it. So how does that fit with Rava's opinion that haka is enough for the get to be bottled? So Tosfos says that's talking about where you knew of that gilui das before the get was actually delivered. So sometime before the get was actually delivered, he said something from which we can infer that he's happy that he doesn't want the get to be given. But our Gemara, he didn't say anything until after the get was given.
It's obvious he doesn't have to say it. He's running afterwards.
But that's the point. In other words, even Rava, who says that Gilui Daisa Begita is milti, is significant, he would agree that, though, if he didn't actually say anything, he's just chasing after, then it's not enough. He may have Adim, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he hasn't actually said in front of Adim or in front of a base in bottle.
How is this compared to the case that had, the water he tried to cross over? Because he was,
there he made a t'nai to begin with in the get. There he made it to the t'nai of the get is. It's not going to be in effect until I'm out of town for 30 days and I don't return. Before the end of the 30 days. Here there was no t'nai.
Yeah, but even though he's referring, he's honest. He wants to.
So that's fine. Ein onus begitin. But here that ein onus begitin means that when it comes to a t'nai and a get, an onus is not a valid argument to say that I tried to fulfill the t'nai but I couldn't, and therefore the get shouldn't be in effect. Here, there was no tonight.
We had a case there.
Yeah, that was the case. That's what we're having. Okay. Tanarabon, we're learning a braisa. If the husband says any of the following lashonis, bottle who, or is it bottle, e-epshiboy, I do not want it, dvorav kayamin, then in with either of those expressions, what he says has validity. And the get is now bottle. Again, it doesn't mean the get is bottle, doesn't mean the shlichos is bottle, whatever. The point is the get cannot be delivered now. He says it so that's what I'm saying. We're going to talk about at the end on the bays and the bays near the bottom. We're going to talk about over there. Does it have to be in front of two people, or does it have to be in front of three people? Is it a matter of eaters, or is it a matter of basin, basically? Well, we'll get to it. On the other hand, if he says posel who, or ain't a get, loya matur, if he says it's posel, or it's not a get, then that doesn't mean anything. Because what do you mean it's posel? It's not posel. It's a kosher get. You can be mekayim the signatures. The same thing ain't a get. What do you mean it's not a get? It is a get. And Rashi says that actually what Rashi says actually is referring to mekabel masana. So let's wait with that. But so it means the get is still in effect. Those lashonos are not valid to be mevatel.
That's how get works.
Bottle or e-epshiboy works because then you're saying the get itself has validity, but I'm considering it bottle to be used as a get for yes. The member of the bottle lishna the livto mashma. Are you telling me that if you say I'm something bottle who that is an expression of saying that it shall be bottle, not that it is bottle as of now, but it will be bottle? Va'amar Rava ba'ayvu amar of sheshes va'amar Rava ba'avur. Mekabel matana, if you have somebody who's receiving a gift, so Reuven wants to gift something to Shimon, and you know you need Shimon's consent for it. So if Shimon says, "Ach l'sha'ama, la'acha shabasa matana l'yadei," he says after the matana reached his possession, after he was koinet in whatever way, he says, "Matana zumu will tell us, this gift should be bottled. This gift is bottle, we will tell us it is bottle, or t bottle, or it shall be bottle, or e ekshiba, or he says, I don't want it, lo yamaklum. None of those count for anything. Meaning, Rashi says, therefore, the gift is his, whether he likes it or not. It would mean, for example, that if he has a creditor, then the creditor can go and take that as payment for the debt. Because the reason is, Rashi says all of those things are all saying in the future. It's all saying that the matana is a matana right now, but in the future, it shouldn't be a matana. In the future, it's too late already. You already have it. In ridiculous comments, we don't say bottle and bottle. We say it shall be bottle. It's not bottle yet. No, you're not being a bottle. You're being a bottle for the future. That it should take effect before the time of
now.
It doesn't have to be bottle right now. Right now Now that you mention it, there is an interesting discussion that the Achronim have. The Ramah talks about it. The Magen Avraham talks about it. Is it, if you have crumbs in your house and you say these crumbs hefker, is that enough? Or do you have to say these crumbs shall be hefker? These crumbs are hefker or whatever. I think it's a machlokes between them. I don't remember. I saw about it, but I didn't participate in the details. On the other hand, the Kelahi, or Eina Matana, but if he says it is bottle, which implies it was bottle to begin with, or Eina Matana, or he says it's not a gift, Dvarav Kayamin, then what he says is valid. So he wasn't saying it. So what happens is that Rashi says that it reverts to the person who gave it to him. There are other Mepharshim who say that actually what happens is it becomes Hefker. Fine, that's neither here nor there. The point is, Alma bottle Meikra Mashma. The point is, when you say bottle, or Patela, it means in the past it was bottle. So what are you telling me that if the husband says batal hu, then it means for the future that this get was written as a valid get, but now I'm declaring it total? We see in that case it means in the past. Amar Abaya, batal shtei lashonos mashma. The word batal actually has a double meaning. It can mean either of two different things, or there are rishonim who learn that it can actually mean two things at the same time. Mashma de batal or mashma de livdil. It can mean the past, that it is batal right now, or it can mean it shall be batal. So when it comes to a get, we generally try to assume that a person doesn't just speak for no purpose. We have this concept in Nedarim. Therefore, we assume that in the case of the get, where the effective way of saying it is to say not it was bottle up until now, because not it was valid up until now, but it will be bottle for the future, then we assume when he's saying the word bottle, he means for the future. He means the sense of it of in the future. Lishna de Bahani Bekama, we assume that he's using the Lashon, which is effective in the case of a get. Rabbi Matana, Lishna de Bahani Bekama, conversely, in the case of a Matana, you can't undo it in the future, because then already at that point you've been Zerchen it already. In the case of Matana, you can only mean Mavakum, you can only say it was never a Matana in the first place, I never agreed to accept it in the first place. Therefore, again, we assume that he's using, that he means, by saying Batavu, he means the meaning that would be effective in the case of Matana, namely the past. No contradiction. Amar Abaya, Nachtinan, we have the Kabbalah that Shliach Matana Hareyu Kishliach Get. That a Shliach who is being sent to deliver a Matana is just like a Shliach Get. Which means, just like in the case of a Shliach Get, our Mishnah is telling us that the husband is able to move off of it before it reaches the wife. The same thing with a Shliach Matana, the giver is able to be mevatel it before the makabel, before the recipient receives it. Nafkamina laholach lafkazachi dami, which means therefore the nafkamina of that is that when you say a concept that we talked about a couple of weeks back, that if you say to somebody holach, if you say to somebody bring this to so and so, it's not the equivalent of saying zechei be zochen it on his behalf. Normally a matana is of course zochen la'adam shalodafonav. If we said holach kazachi dami, it would mean as soon as you gave it to the shliach, then the mekabel has already been zochen at that point. Okay, he has the right to say no once he receives it, because that shows that it's not as close as the chayv. But other than that, if he doesn't object, then it means it was his already as of when you gave it to the shliach. The fact that, but based on what we're saying over here, no, it comes out that holach is not kazachi dami. You're not zochen it right now. Okay, Tosfos points out, in the case of a get, it's not really relevant. A get, we established a couple of weeks ago, a get is normally a choiv for the woman. It makes that she doesn't get mazonis from her husband anymore, etc. She's able to correct her silver, fine, other Mepharshim talk about, we did talk about then, there are cases where a get could be a schus for a woman, where it saves her from being a shemeret yavam, for example. And she was like, well, okay. According to Tosfos, what? Yeah, Tosfos says that really the Gemara doesn't mean to say that in the case of a get, you're saying hoy leflav kazachi dami. The Gemara is just using it as a way of speaking. Just like by the get, giving it to the shliach doesn't right away make it take effect. It has to reach her or her shliach. The same thing with the matana, giving it to the shliach doesn't make it take effect. It has to reach the makabel. You know what tells? Ravina
asks.
There's a sort of parallel. In other words, we're not using it in the exact sense that when you give a get, the woman has not been zoche in it yet. Most of the time, a get is not a schutz for the woman. But we mean it in the sense that when you give it to the shliach, it has not yet taken effect. Ravina Ashkechel Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Tali V'koi V'ibra D'dosha. One time, Ravina found Rav Nachman Yitzchak was standing and leaning against the bolt of the door, like deep in thought. Become a boyle, and he was wondering about the question, bottle mahu. What if he says bottle? Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, the difference is, before we were talking about the husband said bottle who. So then we can say, fine, we can discuss whether bottle who means in the past or in the future, and we said that, fine, since for a get you need it to mean the future, then it'll mean the future. What if he only says the word bottle? Maybe the word bottle by itself implies it is bottle right now, and therefore that's worthless because it's not bottle right now, or it was bottle, whatever. But maybe he also means that it will be bottle in the future. The Rambam and a couple of other Rishonim have a different understanding of it. They say that that Rav Nachman Yitzchak's question is, what if instead of saying bottel, which is a noun, which is an adjective, what if he says bottal? What if he says bottal, which is a verb? Botal as a verb sounds like it means past tense, like ochal means he ate. Botal would mean it was bottle, and it was bottle was no good. Or maybe not. And we're going to say, Omer of Sheshes, Va'amri Lov Masnesitana, so if Sheshes says, others say that we learn in a braisa, if the husband says, get ze lo yoyil, this get should not be effective, lo yatir, it should not be matir her to remarry, lo yaziv, it should not make her abandon. Lo yishalach, it should not send her away. Lo yigarish, or it should not make her divorce. Yehei cheres, it should be like earthenware. It should be earthenware. It should be like a broken piece of pottery. Yehei kicheres, or it should be like a broken piece of pottery. All of those dvarav kayam, and all those are valid expressions to say that the get is mavul. Okay, he gave it to the shliach, and on the way he's mavul again. B'shavar, yeah. On the other hand, if he says it is not effective, which is, in other words, loyoyol is saying for the future. This get was written validly, but now, as of now, I'm declaring that from now on it should not be effective. That's okay. He has the right to do that. Ene moyol, for example, and the rest of the Lashonis that we're going to say, would imply that he's saying about the get itself, this is not an effective get. I mean, it's not an effective get. It was written as an effective get. Any makir, any maziv, any mshalayach, any megarish, cheres hu, ki cheres hu, it is like a piece of broken part of it. It's like, yeah, loshen hoiva, loyal makflum, in all those cases, what he said doesn't count for anything. Because that's loshen hoiva, is like he's saying something about the actual status of the get itself, and he can't. He doesn't have the right to change the existing status of the get. He only has the right to change the future status of it, yeah. Iboilu, harehu cheres mahu. What if the husband says, it is cheres? It is a broken piece of earthenware. Does that mean that he's talking about the past, which would be no good, or is he talking about the future, which is fine? Amalei ravina l'ravacha b'redirava, v'amalei l'ravacha b'redirava l'ravashi. What's the problem? My shnamei, harehu hektish, harehu hektir. Why should it be any different? For example, then we know if somebody says about something, it is hektish, then it becomes hektish. Hefker, you say harehu mufker. It is hefker. Those are valid. By the same logic, yes. If you say harehu cheres, it should also be valid.
It wouldn't be thought to be valid because what?
We were asking. Does it mean the past or the future? So now we're saying the same way. When you say harehu ze hektish, doesn't mean it was hektish up until now. It means from now on it's going to be hektish. The same thing. Harehu cheres means from now on it's going to be cheres. Now the question becomes, can the husband, if he was mevatel this get, is he able to reuse this get, to change his mind again and use this get after all? or not. So first of all, so there was the machloikas that we talked about on Amud Aleph, whether b'chlal, when the husband is mevatel the get, whether he's being mevatel the shlichus or the get itself. That appears on this machloikas that we're going to have now in the Gemara. But there's also a question that Mephoshim talk about. Fine, if the husband just says one of the lashonis that we said, then we can argue, is he mevatel the get itself or is he mevatel the shlichus? What if he explicitly says, I am being mevatel this get? That's another question. Does he have the power to be mevatel that get to the point where it can never be reused? Or maybe not.
This get.
So, Rav Nachman says he can go ahead and reuse it later. The get itself has not become possible. He just possibled the shlichus, but he's able to reappoint a shliach later and then have the get delivered or just give it himself, whatever. But Rav Sheshes Amar Ein Chozer Magadosh Bar. Rav Sheshes says you can't. So now, Tosfos asks an interesting question. We know that the general rule, if you said something verbally, which has an effect in halakha, then in many cases you're able to say something later on and change your mind. Sometimes it needs to be said to the dibur, sometimes it can be even afterwards, whatever it is, ofti dibur, mevatel dibur. On the other hand, loy ofti dibur, mevatel maisi, you did something which has an effect, and now you're just going to verbally take it back, that has no validity. However, here, a get was written, which is a maisa, how is your dibur able to undo that to the point, according to Rav Sheshes, where the get itself is completely possible? The Tosfos answer is actually that the maisa of the get includes the delivery of it. Until you did the delivery of the get, the maisa is not complete. Therefore, yes, the dibur can undo it. And that Tosfos mentions that the distinction is, for example, that suppose a person were to write a Sefer Torah to Lishma, he doesn't have the ability later on to say the Sefer Torah is batel or pasul or what have you. But that's the difference, because with a Sefer Torah, once it's written, that's it, and this was fulfilled. Yeah, there's no delivery to do yet. Okay, the Hilchos HaKavaseh of Rav Nachman. And the Halacha is like Rav Nachman, that the get itself is not pasul, he's able to reuse it later. We know in a different context, if you have a case that's in Kiddushin, a man says to a woman, I'm giving you this money right now, I want that the Kiddushin will take effect in 30 days. So what happens if she changes her mind during the 30 days, the Kiddushin is bottled? Why? Because she was mevatel them before they were mechal. If he said ma'achshav alachas shloishin, that's a different matter, but he didn't. He said he just said ma'achshav shloishin. So she has the ability to change her mind and give back the kedushin during the 30 days. By the same logic over here, then we should say that if he cancels the get, then it should be completely canceled. The get itself should be possible, like Rav Sheshes is saying. The answer is Hachi Hashem. The Gemara says, how can you think to compare the two cases? Hasan Dibur V'Dibur, exactly that. In that case, you just have one speech versus an opposite speech, because the Kiddushin involves Dibur. So therefore her Dibur, that she changes her mind, is good enough to cancel that.
Dibur and is also giving a claim.
Well, so that's what Rashi points out. The money itself is not batel. If he wants to later on give her those same coins again, and be Mekadosh her again, that'll work. Fine, over here he's mevatel the shliach shlichus. Gita gufe mika batel. He wasn't mevatel the get itself. The get itself is the equivalent of the money of kedushin. Yes, it exactly fits with what we're saying over there. The money itself is still valid for kedushin. Same thing over here. The get over here is still valid for kedushin. But that's the question. In other words, that's according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, all he's being mevatel is the focus on shenasati lecha, that I gave it to you. So the shlichus that I handed over to you is batel. The get itself is still valid. But that's what I'm saying. There's also a machlokes haposkim, whether it goes back to the Rishonim actually, whether the husband has the ability to say the get itself is batel.
Before she actually
holds
out
to him.
He was
after the shliach.
So what?
So what, he's mevatel while it's in the air?
It's halfway, she hasn't gotten it yet, she just did not get it, and he says, okay.
So then Mepasha says, I mean, b'chlal, if it doesn't land Kodosh law anyway, then it's not a get, then it's not a valid get anyway, because it has to actually come from him to her, yeah. Yeah, it has to land within her four amas, or a chutz, or what have you.
Falls in the air then.
While it's in the air, okay, then I guess he still would have a chance to be miraculous, I guess.
Is the angel he's still on his door?
I'm not sure.
If
I see
the
difference.
What? One man is shliach, making the shliach one with his mouth was...
I see what you mean, because the throwing is a maisa?
Yeah.
Okay, fair point. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Okay, the Gemara asks, Itmar, the snake kamahu mevatle, how many people, if you're going to be mevatle to get, how many people do you need to be mevatle in front of? Now, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel made a takana, you're not allowed to be mevatle to get. So what's the Gemara asking? So, Rashi says we're talking about before Rav Gamliel takana. It's before his takana, you needed to know how many people you need. Tosfos adds that even after his takana, we're gonna learn tomorrow or the next day, we're gonna learn about machlokas between Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe, whether if you were mevatel the get after all, even after Rav Gamliel's takana, is that vital effective? Did Rav Gamliel as often take away the ability to be mevatel the get at all, or did he say you're not allowed to do it? But if he did, look, you know, the Torah says you have the ability to be mevatel it. I can't take that away from you. I just don't want you to do it. According to Rebbe, bitlay mevatel. The fact is, you are mevatel, it is mevatel. So therefore, we still have to ask, how many people do you need to be mevatel in front of for that to be effective? And then the Meiri has an explanation based on his shita. I mentioned on Amar Aleph that his shita is b'chlal. You are allowed to be mevatel a get even nowadays. You just have to do it in front of. You just have to do it in a circumstance locally where she or the shliach will know about it. So fine. According to him, the question is still relevant. You still, if you want to be mevatel nowadays after Rav Gamliel Azak and Takana. How many people do you need to be mevatel? That's what we're going to say. Rav Nachman Amar Rufnei Beis, Rav Sheshes Amar Rufnei Gimel. Rav Nachman says you need two, Rav Sheshes says you need three. Rav Sheshes Amar Rufnei Gimel because Beis Din, that's funny. Rav Sheshes says you need three because we say you need a Beis Din. Yeah, because that was the Gzeira. Even before the Gzeira, but Hashanah Haya Oisa based in Mimakam Acha, the Mishnah said that originally you could make a based in anywhere in Mimakam Acha, and Rav Gamliel was also made a Tachana not to. So based in is based in, and three.
Why do you need a based in the three? Two ways we can say something, somebody kills somebody here. You don't believe him? Why do you need three? Two ways to say, this is this person kills somebody. You need two ways to say, why do you need a based in?
Okay, but nevertheless, it's not a matter of believing. It's a matter of it has to be done as an official thing. The snake based in. It can't just be something in private. Two people with Adim is enough for Dovah Shabbat Erva. That's why Rav Nachman says two is enough. But the one of Rav Sheshes who says three would say that because we say a based in, so it has to be a based in. It has to be done officially in based in. Rav Nachman Amar Rufnei Beis because the Beit Shei Nami based in Karlu because two people can also be called a based in. Now how do you get that two people can be called a based in? So the Shiltas says because Rav Nachman himself says in Masechta Sanhedrin that really, even though a Beis Din is supposed to be composed of three, but the Evid, if two people judge together as a Beis Din, it's valid, it's called a Beis Din Chotzov, it's called a Chotzvitika Beis Din, but it doesn't have validity. So the Shilpa says, based on that, is our Gemara over here. Tosfos disagrees with that on grounds of what the Gemara discusses further over there. And Tosfos says, the reason is that since the Gemara is going to tell us in a minute that when it comes to a Prusbul, Rav Nachman is going to say two people are enough to make a prusbul in front of. If they're good enough for a prusbul, then they're good enough to be mevatel get in front of them. But not normally. Normally, two people do not constitute a beis din. But we do find in the case of prusbul that two people are enough. So therefore, when the Mishnah says beis din can mean the minimum amount that could ever be considered a beis din, not the beis din chatzuf of Sanhedrin, because Tosfos disagrees with that concept, but the beis din of a prusbul, which is two. Doesn't matter. The point is, it's called a Beis Din. Amar Rav Nachman, we're not mean a law. From where do I get that a Beis Din can be composed of only two? It's not. We learn in the Mishnah in the Sefer Shviyas, and we're going to quote it. And in a few days, we're going to have early next week. We're going to have a sugya, or we're going to have a long sugya about the din of a prusbul. The Mishnah says, how does the prusbul work? You say, Mosani lifnechem pliny pliny adiyanim shemakam pliny, that I am handing over to my debt. For collection to you, to Pliny and Pliny, the Dayanim in such another place. So it only mentions two Plinys, therefore two Dayanim.
What did we say this?
We say, well, you don't say Tlaini or Tlaini, and there's no stuff that you can find in the Siddur, in the Machzor. It's just Tarim Marin and Moshe Lufnechem Kocher V'Shiyashli Sheikh Menachol Man Sheretze. We'll learn when we get to the whole thing of proof. We'll see how the Gemara says to do it and how we do it nowadays. And Bez Hashem, we'll hopefully get to talk about the differences about yeah. Anyway, so you see only two. Rav Sheshes, what would Rav Sheshes answer to that? He would say, Alter Tana ki roich lech shavalezel. Does the Tana have to be like a peddler that he calls out every single thing? He says two plainies. You meant to understand from that he means however many plainies you need to make up a basin. A basin is three, a basin is not two. He says plainy of plainy. You meant to understand that there's supposed to be a third plainy there as well. Okay, so Rav Nachman tries again. He says, where do I get this, that I say that you only need two, that you only need two people? It's none. We learn in a Mishnah in Shviyas, where again when it's talking about the dinim of Prozbul, that you write out a Prozbul, Ha Dayonim Chosmin Lamata Oyha Edim. It says the Dayonim or the Edim sign at the bottom. So my lab Dayonim Dumya Edim. So on the face of it, you should assume that when it says Dayonim, it says Dayonim or Edim, it means they're on an equal level. My Edim Shnaim after Dayonim Nami Shnaim. So two Edim is definitely enough. We never find that you need more than two Edim for anything. So therefore two Dayonim also. And Rav Sheshes would answer to that, what kind of a comparison is that? Hakadisa of a Hakadisa. Each one is however many it's supposed to be. Yes, Edim is supposed to be two, Dayanim is supposed to be three. If it says Dayanim or Edim, you're meant to understand. It means three Dayanim or two Edim. Okay, so then the question is, Lomali Lemisna Dayanim, Lomali Lemisna Edim. So then, according to Rav Sheshes, why Taka does it have to mention Dayanim and Edim? According to Rav Nachman, we need it, basically the Mishnah is telling us sort of a heckish, that just like two Edim are enough, so also two Dayanim are enough. According to Rav Sheshes, what do we need it for? The answer is, Hokamash Malan, Deloishna Kasa Veloshin Dayanim V'chasmi Edim. It doesn't matter whether the principle is written in the Lashon of that there were members of a Beis Din sitting there, v'chasmi edim, and then it's signed with edim, loishna kosev, loishna edim, v'chasmi dayanim, or the other way around. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means like this. When you have something that's done in front of a Beis Din, then there's a Lashon, there's a standard Lashon that's used for Maitre Beis Din. The most of tlosa kachada havena or beidina havena, whatever we were sitting as a Beis Din. Okay, if someone said Rachman, you don't need most of tlosa because it needs me. So beidina havena, we were sitting as a Beis Din, and so as an employee came before us and he declared moistrani lefneichem that I'm handing over my debt to you for collection. So that would be loshen dayanim. And then v'chasmi edim, then they would sign at the bottom in the form of edim, ploini ben ploini aid, ploini ben ploini aid. No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't. I started saying most of philosophy and then I changed my mind. No, Rashi doesn't say most of philosophy. Rashi says beit din havena. We were sitting as a beis din. Again, according to Rav Nachman, two is enough for a beis din for this purpose. So it's written, so the body of it is written as a maisa beis din, and at the bottom it's signed with edim, the way edim would do on a shtar. Or you could have the other way around. It could be the body of it is written Beloshen Edos, that, for example, this is the record of the Edos that was done in our presence, that this person came and said Maestrani, etc. And then what happens? And then Dayanim, sign at the bottom, Plainim and Plainim, Dayan. So Rashi says the point was the same. Either of those is valid. Just because the body of it is written one way doesn't mean that the signatures have to be in the same format. Tosfos says that Tosfos says that it's talking differently. It's talking about that if the prosbul was done in front of Dayanim and the names of the Dayanim are mentioned in the body of the prosbul, you would expect the Dayanim to be Dayanim themselves to be signed on the bottom. So it doesn't matter. In other words, it doesn't matter whether the names of the Dayanim as Dayanim are mentioned in the body of it. So according to Tosfos, in other words, not a matter of the lashon of it. It's a matter of how are the people in front of whom it's done? How are they being described? Are they being described as Edim or are they being described as Dayanim?
They have to be described in the body of the.
Well, you would have to say that it was done in front of Pliny and Pliny. So you didn't have to say I need Pliny and Pliny Dayan or I need Pliny and Pliny Edim. Yeah. So if you have the mention in the body of it as that they're mentioned as Dayanim or they're mentioned as Edim, and at the bottom you have plenty of plenty Edim or plenty of plenty Dayanim, then it's fine. Either way, that's the point. The point of Sheshes of mentioning Dayanim or Edim signing it. That it doesn't matter whether they're signing in the capacity of Dayanim or in the capacity of Edim. But not like Reb Nachman is saying, Reb Sheshet is still saying, not like Reb Nachman is saying, that two is enough. No, the Mishnah is still telling Dayanim means the normal number of Dayanim, which is three.